Westgate Chapel. We're so glad you're here. Won't you join us and stand and sing with us this morning?
Morning, church. How are you today? It's good to be here. You may grab a seat. If we have not had the opportunity to meet, my name is Rob Zimmerman. I am the lead pastor here at Westgate, and I'm just thankful you've chosen to worship with us today. We have got a great morning of worship that is planned, and I especially want to welcome you if you are a guest here with us today. You know, last week, I think we had a real realization of just how many new people have been coming to Westgate. I think it was close to 55 people that came to our new people party following second service. Many in the last few months, and we're just excited that you're here. And if you have been here, whether it's over the last couple months or maybe you're new this morning, I just want to encourage you, the best way, when you're ready to get connected, the best way to do that is to take that connection card that you'll see in the pew in front of you, to fill that out. And I'd encourage you, if you fill that out this morning, you can take it to our guest center that is out in the main entrance. Hand them that card, but also they will exchange that, give you a small gift to say thank you for being here. but also they would love to answer any questions you might have about Westgate, how you can get involved in our various ministries. And so please be sure to do that today. As well, another great way to always stay connected here at the church is by downloading our Westgate Chapel app that you can find on your app store. You can type in Westgate Chapel Toledo, find that, but that is where you will find all of the most up-to-date information about studies and ways to get involved, different events that are happening. So please be sure to check that out. There are a few that I want to highlight for you this morning. First off, I want to remind you that next Sunday is going to be our ministry fair here at the church, which is a great way to get connected. If you are looking for a way that you would like to get involved just in relationship with other people, but also serving and using your own gifts, most of our ministries are going to have tables that are set up all throughout the atrium in an awesome fair environment where you can stop by, pick up information, talk to people about how to get involved. As well, we're going to have all sorts of good, sugary, wonderful yummies for kids. So bring them, we'll sugar them up and send them home. So be sure, we'll do it for you too, I guess. But we would love for you to come and join us for that. Secondly, want to let you know that we also have coming up our Bowl-O-Rama for our student ministry. Our high school students, as we've mentioned, for a number of weeks, are going to be going to a large conference in Indianapolis this summer, and this is their major fundraiser. This is happening on Saturday, March 15th. It is a great opportunity to invite your family and your friends to come out with you and to bowl. You can support our students, have a great time with them. You can also support, if you're interested in being a sponsor for the event, you can go to westgatechapel.org/events or scan that QR code. You could also talk to Pastor Dan. So if you would consider that, put that on your calendar. We hope that you'll come out and join us and register for Bowl-O-Rama. Next, this is a connecting point for women. Women, we have coming up very soon our women's conference. It's entitled Thrive, and we are excited about what is going to be happening, and we've got a short video just to give you a little bit more information. So go ahead and cast your eyes to the screen.
Work is work. You know, it's really hectic when I'm at work. And then I go home. I feel like I can't not think about work. So I'm just really, really overwhelmed.
I'm so sorry to hear that. What can I do to help?
I just need to know somebody's here for me.
I've got you. I'm here for you.
I can trust you?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my click list is done.
Were saying about Gwen?
I've just been so frustrated lately. She's supposed to be gaining more weight, but it seems like she doesn't want to eat anything, and I just don't know what to do.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I just want you to know I'm here for you.
Thanks. That really means a lot.
I've got you. So tell me, how are things going?
Man, I just feel like I can't get ahead of these bills. First it was the air conditioning, then it was the dryer, now it's the car, and even Kevin's phone. It's just one thing after another, and honestly, I don't know what to do.
Oh, that's so hard to hear. But I want you to know you're not alone. I've got you.
Thanks.
Honey, a new season of The Chosen just dropped.
Women's ministry here at Westgate. And starting this spring, we are going to have an annual conference called Thrive. In John 10:10, Jesus says that he came so that we can have life. And not just have life, but have it abundantly. We aren't meant to just drag through, hanging on by a thread through this life. But you know, sometimes God puts people in our path who are going through some difficult times. And we are blessed as believers so that we can bless others, bless those people that are going through those hard times. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. And that's our theme this year, blessed to be a blessing. We are to be encouraging one another, building each other up. We are here on this earth to glorify God. And part of that is stopping and noticing those around us who need to be encouraged and loved. not like the people in our video. We can get distracted, right, by the things going on in our lives, and we forget to see people and what they're going through and how they might need to feel the love of God through us. So we don't want to drop the ball. We don't want to miss those opportunities to bless others. But some of you here might be saying, I feel like I'm the one being dropped here. I feel like I'm the one hanging on by a thread. And you know, we also need to remember in those times that we are blessed. Sometimes we forget the first part of that, the blessed part, that we are blessed in Christ and can bless others. So whatever end of the spectrum you're on, whether you need to be reminded to bless others or whether you just need to remember that you are blessed in Christ, this conference is for you on April 5th. I'm sure that's where you're going to want to be if you are a woman here today. High schoolers are welcome as well. We would love for you to join us. It's an all-day event, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., but it is going to fly. We have so much going on. We're going to be worshiping together. We're going to be listening to some speakers. We're going to have a catered lunch. And then in the afternoon, there's going to be some breakout sessions where you are going to get to actually come away with some things that you can bless others with who God lays on your heart to encourage in your own lives. So, with that being said, I am sure you are eager to get signed up. So here's what you can do. There are a million places to get registered, as usual. You have this QR code up here that will take you to the Westgate Women website, that will have a Thrive logo on there that you can click on to get registered. You can also go to westgatechapel.org/thrive. There's a special link just for this event. You can go to the events page or your app. So lots of choices of ways to register, but you're going to want to do that soon. So there are a limited amount of spaces within each breakout room. So if you have a certain breakout room you want to be in, you're going to want to register soon. Now, with that being said, we also have flyers if you're like, I want to look a little bit more into it before I jump in and sign up. In the cafe for the next 5 weeks, there's going to be a table set up with these brochures that gives descriptions of our speakers, descriptions of the breakout rooms, and how to sign up here as well. So you can grab one of those on your way out today. So I am really looking forward to seeing all you ladies there on April 5th. But for right now, we are going to go to a time of greeting one another. Please bless those around you, saying hello. Look for that face that you've never met before. Help them feel seen and welcomed today.
Man, we could go all day, couldn't we? Everybody's happy to be here. I love it. I'm not singing a song. All right. I'd invite you to head back to your seats. Let's stay standing as we prepare to enter back into worship and music. You know, this morning, our service, especially our message time, is going to be a little bit different. Today is our Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and we're going to be talking with a number of people that serve in various capacities here at Westgate, but also with Bella Vita and the Pregnancy Center of Greater Toledo. And You know, it's such an important topic for us to talk about when you think about our world and our culture today. But one of the key aspects that I'm going to share with you at the end of this morning is this truth, is that the purpose of every human being, our created purpose, is to reflect the glory of God. In other words, God created all things in this world, including us as humans, to reflect his glory. And this worship song that we're going to enter into together is a new song, but in this song, it speaks about God's glory in creation, but God's glory as well in the way that he has demonstrated the depth of his love for us. And so with that heart, let's go to worship and worship him together this morning.
give him glory. Because he is the very breath we breathe. Great are you, Lord. Give a shout how great our God is. Church, all the earth shouts his praise.
Bones.
Let's give him glory.
Would you join me in prayer? God, thank you for, again, this family that you've given us where we can gather and worship you together. Lord, I thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, each week we must acknowledge that without your son, we could not experience this relationship with you, a relationship that you've designed for us from the very beginning of time, one that we have run away from, but that God, you have pursued us relentlessly through your son. And Father, we thank you this morning for your unending love and grace that you have shown us that draws us to a place of yielding our hearts to you and worshiping you. So God, as we come, that's the expression of our hearts. God, we just want to be closer to you. We want you to know how thankful we are for you. And God, we want you to receive all glory. This morning, as we worship you, Lord, we also do so through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And Father, we recognize this morning that everything, every good and perfect gift that we have comes from you. Father, I pray that this morning, as we give our offerings, that it would come from a joyful heart, and that, Lord, it would be worship that rises before you, and that you would take our gifts and that you would use them so that more people will know your son, Jesus Christ. We love you. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, we're going to take up our morning offering. If you're here on the center aisle, you can grab the offering buckets. We'll begin to pass those out to the sides. And then in the corners of the balcony, we'll pass those in. We'll continue worshiping the Lord here for just a moment as we give our offering together. Well, this morning, as I mentioned, it is a special morning for us. Each year, we take time to focus on the sanctity of human life. Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is typically in January, the exact day that we end up doing our annual meeting. And so each year, we kind of plan a little bit later to take time to have this service together and to talk about the value and the importance of life. And one of the things that I have loved here at Westgate Chapel is the incredible partnership that we have had with Bella Vita. Bella Vita is a ministry in our community. If you're unaware, it means beautiful life, and it houses three ministries, the ministry of the Pregnancy Center of Greater Toledo, The Haven, and also Soul Purpose. And what I have loved about this partnership is not only does Bella Vita champion the life of the unborn, but even more, I love that their mission statement is that every life would be valued and every life know its worth. Not just the life of the unborn, but the life of the mother and the lives of the family. And they have a powerful, powerful ministry that is taking place in this community. And this morning, we get the opportunity to share some stories and hear about the work that God is doing. Over the last couple years, we've had the executive director of Bella Vita, Savannah Martin, with us and sharing different things about what God is doing. But as Julianne and I were talking about this year's Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, one of the things we recognize is that there are a number of people here in our own church that are actively serving through those various ministries, making an impact in our community. So much so that I've often joked with Savannah that we're having a loving, non-hostile takeover of the Pregnancy Center. But I have loved the fact that so many of you have been involved in many different ways. And so today, you're going to have the opportunity to hear from four people who are actively serving with Bella Vita in varying different roles and hear the stories and testimonies of how they see God moving and working. But before we dive into that, I wanted us to take a minute and just recognize not all of us may be fully familiar with Bella Vita and the various arms of its ministry. And so I want you to watch this short video from Savannah Martin that will give us an explanation of their ministry here in the greater Toledo area.
Hi, my name is Savannah Martin. I am the executive director of Bella Vita Network, formerly known as the Pregnancy Center of Greater Toledo. For the first few months of the year, every year, we focus on the sanctity of all human life, knowing that we root ourselves in the understanding that God has created every single life with so much value and so much dignity and so much purpose. This year, as we focus on the sanctity of all human life, our theme is truth and love. This comes out of the passage in Ephesians 4, verse 15, that commands us to speak the truth in love. And here at Bella Vita Network, we walk this truth and love concept out every single day through our three outreaches: Soul Purpose, the Pregnancy Center, and the Haven. Soul Purpose is a national outreach where we partner with pregnancy centers across the country and establishing Soul Purpose chapters on their local college campus. And we know that 1 in 4 college-age women will have an abortion. Friends, that's a scary picture, but truth in love is that through Soul Purpose, our 8 chapters across the country, that young women are learning their value, worth, and identity in Christ, so that not only do they not have to walk through the doors of an abortion facility, they don't have to walk through the doors of a pregnancy center either. And on average, 50 girls are showing up every single week for Bible studies here at our local Soul Purpose chapters at BG and the University of Toledo. This is truth in love. The reality, or the truth that we see every single day through the Pregnancy Center, is that last year, Ohio actually had a record number of abortions, 22,000 abortions in our state. Women have access now to buy the abortion pill online. This is actually the fastest growing way that women are getting an abortion. But the good news is that the Pregnancy Center stands ready through our medical facility, our educational program, and our new outreach of Lori's Place to help intercept these women. In fact, we are seeing an 11% increase in women who are searching or looking for an abortion instead walking through our doors at the Pregnancy Center. Our third outreach is the Haven. The Haven is located right next door to our city's last abortion facility, and there we provide after-abortion care to both men and women after an abortion to provide the love and hope and healing that Jesus Christ has for them, and to be the best neighbors that we can to those that work and volunteer at the abortion facility. Part of Truth and Love over at the Haven also looks like the outreaches that we do to our neighbors once a month. From gifts to meals to praying for them, we take seriously the command to love our neighbors as ourselves. Thank you for joining us. We are seeing miracles upon miracles, and we can't do this without you, without the church walking in love. Thanks for helping us create a community where every life is valued and where every life knows its worth and where truth and love is a principle that's lived out every single day.
Well, again, I am thankful for Savannah and the ministry of Bella Vita, and especially for their mission that is centered in kind of their theme for this year, which is sharing the truth in love. This morning, we again are blessed to have each of these women joining us that attend Westgate, but also who serve regularly down at the Pregnancy Center. Would you welcome them as they come to share with us this morning? I want to begin down here on the end with Leanne and Rachel, and would you maybe take just a moment to share a little bit about the role that you serve in down at the Pregnancy Center, but also tell us, give us kind of a picture, if you will, of how it fits into the bigger picture of the ministry of Bella Vita.
Rachel and I are client advocates, and that means that we get to walk alongside the women who come into the Pregnancy Center. And our role fits into that mission that every life has value and worth because we are created by God. And we get to show this by bringing God's presence into the room when we first sit down with a woman at their initial visit. We want to set a tone and provide a welcoming and warm atmosphere because a lot of them come in nervous and anxious. And we want them to feel seen and heard as they have an opportunity to tell their stories and share their concerns. And then as we listen, we gather information. Alongside with the nurse, we're trying to determine where they're at physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. And we do this by first listening up, asking God to reveal what needs to be known, and then listening across to the woman, to what she has to say and how she expresses herself.
Yeah, and as we discern the specific needs of our clients, we know which resources we can offer her. Now, like Savannah was saying, this could be the haven for our post-abortive clients. It could be Sole Purpose for our ladies on campus. Also at the Pregnancy Center, we have educational videos we send out where women can earn free packs of diapers for every video they watch. We have our pregnancy and parenting classes that allows them to earn points towards our baby boutique. We also have for our clients who are really struggling to have their material needs met, we have our Abundant Life Plan, and they can meet one-on-one with our resource manager and set goals, have someone keep them accountable to reach those goals, and to get connected with local resources. One thing I love about the center, Bella Vita as a whole, is we have so many local partnerships, so if we don't offer it, chances are we can refer them to someone who does. But as important as meeting our clients' material needs are, we also want them to know they are seen and loved by God. So we do this by praying with every client that comes in. We have those spiritual conversations, gospel conversations. We give out Bibles and devotionals, and we keep in contact with them after every appointment. So ultimately, Bella Vita, they want to make sure their goal is to make sure abortion is unthinkable in our community. And we do that by making sure every life is known, that every life knows their worth. And and that's our goal, to do that for them.
That's awesome. Can you guys maybe share with us just a little bit about what do you really love about your role that you get to play as client advocates?
Yeah, so I love getting to participate with God as He transforms the lives of our clients and honestly my own. Shout out to all my introverts out there. I am one. And He has really taken me out of my comfort zone. He has shown me that I cannot further His kingdom if I'm too scared to speak up. So He brought me to the Pregnancy Center about a year and a half ago, and I have been given the honor of having a front row seat to see how He moves and shows up.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love everything that Rachel said. I agree. I also love when the women trust me enough to tell me their story and allow me to walk alongside them. And it's such a beautiful thing when you see these women start to believe that God actually sees them and He cares about them. I had one story where I had a young woman, I prayed for her, and I found out later that the prayer I prayed for her was exactly what she wanted for herself. And she felt like God actually knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess I love getting to serve with some really amazing women and how we get to be a part of a team of making an impact in our community. And finally, the icing on the cake is when we get to see pictures of these babies, and even better yet, when they bring them in so we get to see them.
That's awesome. Yeah, as you guys think back over however long it is that you have been serving, year and a half, Rachel, how have you seen God moving? Like, what are some God stories of how you've seen Him moving in the lives of women, but also of the families that come through the door of the Pregnancy Center?
Yeah, so we have all sorts of situations that come into the center, and God is always faithful, and that's going to look different in every situation. I had a client come in beginning of the school year, so things are already tense and difficult, and she was pregnant, did not want to be, and she was determined to have an abortion. I sat with her. We had our conversation. It was great. We met with the nurse. We had an ultrasound that day. And, I was getting ready to pray and do all the great things. And she gets up, says she's done, and she walks out. And I'm awkwardly, going after her, just whispering encouragement and like, okay, come back. Like, and at that point, all I could do was pray and ask God to move in her heart. So I gave her some time to cool down. I sent her a message, and before I pushed send, I just prayed, God, please move. And he did. She wrote me back, and she said she wanted to come back. She went to the abortion facility, but decided she could not go through with it. And she came back, she took our classes, and now she is well supplied to have her baby in April. So we love to hear
those
awesome stories.
That is awesome.
And I wish all of our interactions ended so happily. The truth is, a lot of them don't. A lot of our clients, you know, they do go through abortions and they do experience pregnancy loss. But then we get to step up and show them that God's love is steadfast and he is faithful and he always provides for them. I had another client come in a few months ago. She desperately wanted to be a mom, and we were able to tell her she was pregnant, and I was with her when she had her ultrasound, and it was so fun, and we found out she was having twins. It was, I mean, the excitement in the room was palpable, and I was able to just walk through her pregnancy with her over the next several weeks, and her boyfriend were so excited to do classes, earn points. She was planning her gender reveal party, and we were talking about that. Really a sweet relationship. And the week after her gender reveal, I'm talking to her, and she discloses to me that she had just had a miscarriage the day before her gender reveal party. And the heartbreak that that family went through was so devastating. But I thank God that she was brought to the pregnancy center and that we were able to walk through that with her. We were able to pray with her, send her little bracelets for the two little girls that she had lost. She left the pregnancy center knowing that God was with her. She was a new Christian at the time, and she saw God's provision in her life, and she left the pregnancy center with hope.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. How about you, Leanne?
I have a story that reminds me that God is faithful and that never to give up. So I had the opportunity to minister to a young woman who is experiencing extreme fear. I mean, we normally have women that are fearful, but this was extreme. I'm related to the possibility that she might be pregnant. She had a past history of some trauma and hurt that intensified the fears. And during the same day ultrasound, you could just like see and feel the tension. But fortunately, she was willing to stay and process and talk things through. And I will tell you, it was one of the most emotional intakes I've ever had. And yet, the Holy Spirit was moving, and I sensed him bringing some calmness and peace to us. When she left, she agreed to allow me to reach out to her. And so I prayed all week. This woman was farther along than most of our clients, and she already had an appointment for an abortion before she came to the pregnancy center. So the morning of her scheduled procedure, I sent a text to reach out to her, and I didn't hear anything back. I had left the center, and I had just hit the road when I got a phone call from Tracy, who works at the pregnancy center, saying that she had responded and she was already at the abortion clinic. So I drove home in tears, and I pleaded with the sovereign God of the universe to intervene. Well, in the 15 to 20 minutes it took me to get home, God had turned those tears of sorrow into tears of joy. She had left the clinic and was still pregnant. So when we spoke later that afternoon, that young woman and that he loved her. And I will say that despite hurtful words and behavior by some of her family members, God used other family members who sacrificially loved her and supported her. So that lessened her fear and gave her hope for the future. So in time, she chose adoption. And adoption was a miracle. I can't tell you all the beautiful details, But I do want to encourage you to think about the fact that if you have a loved one or if you know someone who is considering abortion, that you would recognize that how you respond and what you do can make all the difference. So I'm just so grateful that I got to witness what God did. And the other powerful thing that I've gotten to see is how God has opened up women's and men's hearts as we've had conversations about their relationship with God. I believe that God has a purpose for each person who walks in the door. And for some of them, that purpose is to get the seeds of the gospel planted. And so I've had opportunity to soften some soil and plant some seeds. We had a young woman come in for actual material needs. She already had children. And she was looking for diapers and whatever else we could give. But when she left, I had realized during our conversation that she had spiritual hunger. So she not just left with clothing and diapers, she left with a Bible, a devotional, a Bible storybook for her kids, a list of churches. And when I did my follow-ups, I found out that God was working and she had started going to church.
Yeah. That is awesome. And Cindy, this is Cindy Stein, by the way, and Cindy has served in another capacity with the Pregnancy Center. And Cindy, would you share with us a little bit about your role, how it fits into the bigger picture, if you will, of the ministry of Bella Vita, but also what you love about it?
Yeah. I have served for 7 years with the Pregnancy Center in a variety of roles. I've done administrative work. I have helped facilitate classes at the center. They offer pregnancy centers, pregnancy classes along the way for the people that are involved. And they also offer parenting classes at the Tabernacle Church that's in downtown Toledo. And I have helped facilitate those. That's what I have done the most. And those classes have been just really impactful for some of the people that come, that they are not alone. The Pregnancy Center tries to offer things, not just to don't have an abortion, but support and encourage and move along with people along the way. They also have classes for the fathers. And I just think that they have a good covering of all the people and pieces that come along in this, and not everybody is in crisis, but they might need help. They might need support. So there's classes that are offered to them to provide encouragement and support and tools for parents, as well as the pregnancy part of their journey. What I love is that I have ongoing engagement with the staff at the Pregnancy Center and volunteers, and that I'm able to bring help to families and help them to get launched well and to have resources at their fingertip, that it's not just we want to save this baby, but we want to walk with you and help you if you don't have the resources and the support that you need for that. I have also seen through the parenting classes people really move closer to Jesus, and the fact that it's held at the Tabernacle is an important piece of that. The Tabernacle outside of the Pregnancy Center offers a lot of things and supports us richly there, and it's very hospitable, and we've had people move closer to Jesus. We've had people start going to church because of the environment that's there and the conversations that we can have, and all of those things. People accepted Christ, and all of those things are just a part of the ministry of loving people and encouraging them.
That's awesome. And Cindy, just is there a tangible way that you have seen God working in the lives of the men and women and families that walk through the doors, not only of the Pregnancy Center, but into the classes and into that environment?
Yes, we have seen people like really unite, that dads come alongside, that they get involved, that they get more support from their families because of the steps that they're taking, and that they just feel more equipped because of the classes and the resources that are offered.
That is powerful, and I love, this is one of the things that I have often said I love about the work of the Pregnancy Center, is that we value life. We value the life of the unborn, but even more, I have loved the shift over the years that I have seen of a focus that says we value each and every life, the life of the family, not only the woman, but even the fathers, and providing different ways to minister to them, whether that is as they are walking through the process, maybe they've gone through an abortion, but there are ways that we're seeking to love on them and care for them and meet their needs even after that point. And so what a blessing it is to see that work and to be a part of that. Also, I've got Kara Jeter here this morning. And Kara, would you share a little bit with us about your role, but also as we think about the landscape of the choice of life and what is happening in our culture. No doubt in our culture today, that landscape has shifted, as we heard from Savannah in the video, talking about the growth of the use of the abortion pill. Could you share with us about your role, but then also how that fits into the bigger picture of the work that you guys are doing?
Absolutely. So I am the nurse manager at the Pregnancy Center. My name's Kara, and I am the only medical person on staff. I get to oversee all the medical services we provide, including incredible medical volunteers. So we have like RDMS, sonographers, nurse practitioners, midwives, nurses. Lots of them are in this room. And so I get the privilege of getting to lead that team. And, you know, what I love about the medical services that we get to have at the center of, you know, the nurse consultations, the ultrasounds, the education, is that we get to do it in a life-affirming way. We get to give women the truth in a time when there's not a lot of clarity and there's a lot of misleading things out there about women and their choices, and that we get to do it for free and with very few barriers for women to come in. And things have changed a lot. I've been in the center about a decade. A lot of that have been on staff. And, you know, we had a pandemic that made a lot of telehealth happen. And then we had the Dobbs decision in 2022, which overturned Roe. And then we had issue one in Ohio. And it's been all over the place with, you know, abortion restrictions. And where we're at right now is very, very little safeguards surrounding a woman if she wants to have an abortion. You know, she can search online, order a pill, doesn't have to be real honest about her age, doesn't really have to confirm her pregnancy, and it can get shipped to her house. And so women are making their decisions a lot faster. There's a lot of fear in our culture. And so, you know, what they maybe used to decide in a few weeks, how they felt, you know, wrestle with the decision, now they're deciding the same day. It's getting shipped to their house, maybe even waiting in their cabinet for a rainy day or an emergency. And so we've had to really adjust our focus at the center to being really available to these women. We have a 24/7 nurse chat line. If they get on our website, they can chat with the nurse, you know, in the middle of the night, where they can get honest information about what the pill is, how it works, why they should have an ultrasound, why they should make sure they're pregnant, and how they can get support. And those nurses can schedule them for an appointment the minute we open our doors. We're also providing some telemedicine, so I can hop on a video chat with a client who maybe feels nervous to walk through our doors or doesn't have transportation or the time, or her abortion appointment, you know, is today and she can squeeze it in right before she goes, and you know, and I can just tell her, you know, this is what the pill's going to do, this is what you can expect, but also, you know, give her hope and you know, information, and encourage her to just come and get an ultrasound before you go. And y'all, these women are so thankful. They truly just don't know, and even when they choose abortion, they'll come back to us, so grateful for just the support we provided them, and that they were able to make an informed decision and would come back to us in future pregnancies. And we see that We're also providing abortion pill reversal because women are making these decisions so quickly. Sometimes they'll take that first pill and be like, oh no, I don't want to do this. And there actually is a way. We have a nurse practitioner who serves with us who, under the supervision of our OBGYN, can prescribe progesterone, which has a really high success rate of salvaging that pregnancy. So she has another chance. And we're just now celebrating the first baby born from abortion pill reversal provided at the center. So that's amazing. We've seen other babies, we've seen other pregnancies saved in this way. And it's awesome. And then the last thing that's really my heartbeat that I've been trying to really advance at the center is just sexual health and relationship education. You know, our culture's kind of crazy right now, and we just love to sit down with women and talk to them about their value, their worth, identity, how to make healthy choices and not put their reproductive health at risk, and just talking about the future, you know, even if they're not pregnant in this crisis or if they chose abortion in this crisis, how to move forward in a way that honors them and their worth as a person.
That's awesome. And Kara, how have you seen God work in tangible ways with the families coming to the center?
Yeah, you know, I see God giving women the chance to know the truth, to be loved, to be encouraged, and to have a way out of making an abortion decision. That's what we're there to do, not to change their mind, but to give them a way out if they want one. And one quick story I'll share, I had a woman connected to me from a licensed professional counselor who had absolutely no support, was receiving a lot of pressure to terminate her pregnancy by her boyfriend. Didn't have a lot of family nearby, and she didn't want to go through with it, but she really felt like she had absolutely no choice. And I was able to meet with her over the telemedicine, and she was able to, you know, get this vital information and understand, okay, what's my timeline, what are my options, but also open up and just share, like, nightmares that she was having about her unborn baby and just how much she was struggling. And I was able to talk to her, encourage her, pray for her, and connect her with the pregnancy center. She actually was hours away from Toledo, but because we had telemedicine, she was connected with us, and then we were able to get her in that same day for, like, a life-affirming consultation and ultrasound at a center near her. So this is just how God can work through all the advances in the tech and the things we're trying to do to kind of meet the culture where we're at. So
that's awesome. For each of you, I would just ask if you had one thing that you could share with our church family this morning. That is on your heart. What is it? What would you like to share?
Yeah, so really simple, like what Savannah and a lot of us have said, make sure we're always sharing the truth in love. Now, as Christ followers, you know, what we say matters, what we do matters, and we will all likely come into contact with someone who has had an abortion, who is considering an abortion, or who really supports abortion. And while we need to always never compromise on the truth, no one's going to hear us if we're not speaking it out in love.
Amen.
I think I want to talk a little bit again about adoption and to remind us that we have been adopted into the family of God. Mm-hmm. And so how will we encourage women and support them that the choice shouldn't be, do I parent a baby or do I get rid of the baby? Or the choice should be, can I parent the baby or should I allow someone else to have the gift of adoption?
I just want to share, you know, I know there's a lot of different kinds of people in the room. Some of you may, you know, be currently experiencing an unexpected pregnancy, or maybe might in the future, or might know somebody who is. And I just want you to know that you have time, that you should never go through those decisions alone, that I know it's feels crazy and political out there, but that you should find really reliable information from a trusted source, and that you are so loved. And also, you're never really ready to be a parent. And also, that God can redeem anything we allow him to touch. And we see those stories of redemption every single day. And the last thing is, 1 in 4 women sitting in the pews of a church and 1 in 5 men have had an experience with an abortion. And that might be you. And if it is, we love you. And it's really, really complicated and hard, and that a lot of women don't feel that they really get the chance to grieve the loss that they experienced or process it with, you know, somebody who's a believer. And that's what the Haven is there for. So please don't hesitate to reach out, even just for a quick phone conversation, for tools to process your situation. And yeah, just that we love you.
And I'd like to close by just giving all of you some information about how you can be more involved in what we have become involved with through the Pregnancy Center. One, you can pray for the Pregnancy Center and all the staff and volunteers that work there, the people that they serve. And also, you could do administrative work for the Pregnancy Center. You can help in the store that was mentioned, that there's a store that they can use their baby bucks for and go in and buy supplies. Somebody needs to keep that organized and stocked and all the, everything ready. You can buy and donate things for that store. You can donate diapers anytime. And you could become a monthly supporter of the Pregnancy Center, or you could give a one-time larger gift. And the thing that I really want to encourage you to do, if God has moved you at all, just to be more interested in this, is to contact the Pregnancy Center and go get a tour of their building and their facility and talk with the people there. That was my first step. I came to an event that the Pregnancy Center did here 7 years ago, and I signed up for that, went right away, and I've been there ever since, and I don't have any regrets about that. It's been a very meaningful way to serve and volunteer.
Well, I want to thank each of you for taking time to share with us this morning. Would you thank them for coming and sharing as well? You know, as I think about everything that we've gotten to kind of hear this morning and different stories and testimonies, the thing that really presses in on my heart about the work of Bella Vita is just their theme this year of truth and love, and how important those are to go hand in hand. We want to stand on the truth of God's word, but also remember that of the desperate need for us as followers of Jesus to display his love at all times. I'm reminded of what Rachel said to us about the number of women that come, that yes, there are stories where women make the choice to choose life, but there are many times where they don't, and it is probably, for me, one of the most impactful parts of the work that is being done through the Pregnancy Center is the choice that we make in those moments to love and to walk with people that are walking through one of the hardest moments of their life. You know, I think about that because oftentimes growing up for me, I always only saw this issue of abortion or the pro-life movement as a political thing. I grew up going to a Christian high school, and that high school was actually directly across the street from an abortion clinic. And the view that I had of Christians growing up in my time in high school was largely that it was political. I looked at it, and what I saw on a daily basis was groups of people gathered at the entrance into this clinic out on the street, and any time the doctors or the workers would drive in, they were hurling insults at them, telling them that they would be going to hell for the things that they were doing. They would be holding up the big signs of aborted fetuses and have these signs that just said some of the most awful things that you could imagine, as well as women would drive in who were wrestling with these choices. They wouldn't offer them words of love or words of care, but words that were meant to frighten them, to shame them, to make them feel as though they had no value. And as I watched this from across the street on a daily basis, I couldn't help but think to myself, what is going on? Like, this just seems like a political issue because there is nothing that seems Christian about what I'm watching. And it caused me to wrestle with two essential questions that I think are important for each of us as followers of Christ to wrestle with. The first question is how does God's word inform me to think about this culturally divisive issue? God's word speaks so clearly to it. And secondly, in light of what God's word says, how should I respond? as I wrestled through that truth, there was a passage of scripture that has meant so much to me in my understanding of what God's word has to say. It's found in Genesis chapter 1, literally in the beginning of the Bible, in verses 26 and 27. As we've gone already through the entire creation account, it tells us these words. It says, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. The very first thing that stands out to me as I read this passage over and over and over again, it says it multiple times, is that we are created by God. That the God of the universe, who is in control of all things, is the one who has created us. What I find as I look at our secular culture today is our secular culture likes to remove this inconvenient truth from the equation and discussion. We want to believe that life is created by an individual human choice or simply by random accident. But I would share with you, if we're talking about the truth of God and the truth of his word, when you go to his word, you cannot come to that conclusion. I want you to think about the many different things that God's word says. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him, but also for him." Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." As you read through the scriptures, you see God's involvement, not just involvement, but his entire all-consuming presence as he is the one that institutes life. I can think of no better place to look to form our theology and understanding on this than Psalm 139. Psalm 139 has long been one of my favorite passages of scripture because it's a consistent reminder to me of just how deeply involved in my life God is. But one of the most poignant things that it says is found in verse 13, where it says, "You created, God, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. And all of the days ordained for me were written before one of them came to be." As you read the pages of scripture, you come to this understanding that God himself is the one that initiates creation. It's not random chance. It's not just individual human choice, but God himself is the one that is the author and the creator of life. But included within this passage that we read in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, is not just that God created, but that he created life, what? In his image. As God's creation, what does that tell us? As we have been created in the image of God, it tells us that our lives have a very distinct purpose. And that purpose is to reflect the glory of God. A purpose that is so holy and of such divine importance that God has literally woven his image into us as beings. And that he has written a story upon our lives that is meant to display his glory. It is one that was of such importance that in Genesis chapter 9, following the flood, in verse 6, we read these words that are honestly hard to read, but speak very important truth. He says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For what? God made man in his own image." Because we are meant to reflect the glory of God, life is essential because God is the creator of that life. This is what I love about the work of Bella Vita and its ministries. They recognize that we are living in a post-Christian culture that rejects the teaching of Scripture, that rejects God's clear teaching about his creative act and purpose. However, while we recognize that we live in a post-Christian culture where it is likely that we will never, if we admit, see a time where abortion is eradicated or unthinkable, what I love about the Pregnancy Center is that their mission is to make the choice of life. Their heart is to make the choice of life irresistible. How do they do that? They do that by making sure that every life has value and understands its worth. I want you to understand that, because within that, then, the work of the Pregnancy Center is actually they themselves displaying the very image of God to every single woman and family that they come into contact with. It's what I love about the fact that one of the key focuses that they have is to also care for and to reach women who have had an abortion, because, as I shared, I grew up in a high school across the street watching the pro-life movement do nothing but bring shame into the lives of women. But what I have read in Scripture about how Jesus responds to all people, no matter what their sin is, no matter how they've failed, the way that he responds to each one of you is not to bring shame into your life and to tell you how you don't have value, but he seeks for you to understand the depth of value and worth that you have to God, no matter who you are, where you come from, or what you have done. And in that, he displays the depth of his love for you and for me. What I love about the Pregnancy Center is that they are reflecting the Imago Dei, the very image of God, in the way that they unconditionally love and serve other people. They speak the truth of God's word in love. They don't condemn those who make a choice not for life. Rather, they draw them in closer to show them the depth of God's love. They display Christ's love in so many tangible ways by breaking down walls to help women to make the choice of choosing life. They do that through education. They do that through people walking with them and caring for them. They do it by providing for people's basic needs for childcare, offering classes to walk with them. They display Christ's love by building relationships even with the abortion clinic doctors and workers. This is profound. Going in and caring for them and showing them Christ's love, and in the process seeking to build trust through love, so that as they meet with their clients, they might point women in the direction of the Pregnancy Center, that they would have influence before that decision is made, but also that they would have the opportunity to provide aftercare for those who have chosen an abortion. As well, they display Christ's love by caring deeply for each individual that walks through their doors, never condemning, but pointing people to the love of Jesus with their words, but more importantly, with their actions. And I believe that this is what brings the church today, all of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, that we have a decision to make. And this is a hard one. I'm just going to confess to you, I know that for some people, this is a really hard topic for a number of different reasons. And that there will be people in this room, I am under no cloud here, that there will be those who disagree with me. But you cannot argue with the word of God and what it says about the value of life because of God's hand of creating all life. And the question that we have to wrestle with, it's not a wrestling with me, it's a wrestling with the very word of God, is will we allow our beliefs on the issue of abortion and life to be shaped by what the world says is acceptable, with finely tuned arguments, and even some that are, I believe, in some way well-intentioned, or will we choose to allow God's word to be the final authority for what guides our life and our theology and understanding? But don't stop there, because displaying the image of God means not just standing on truth, but showing love at every turn. It begs you in the church to ask yourself the question, will you allow not only God's word to be the final authority in your life, but will you be one who displays the glory of God in the way that you love other people? In the way that you share Christ's love, showing that not only do we value the life of the unborn, that we value all life, for all are created in the image of God, and our calling is to reflect his glory in the way that we love. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we've had this morning to dive into a topic that we confess is hard. It's hard because it's so divisive in our culture. But God, you call us to stand upon the truth of your word. The truth of your word is not just, though it is important, it is not just that all life is valuable, that the life of the unborn is essential. The other part of your word that is so important is the way that we love all people, no matter what choice they make. And we're reminded of that, God, because of the way that you have loved us. All of us, Father, have sinned and fallen short of your glory. All of us have brought separation in our relationship with you because of choices that we have made across a gamut of decisions. But God, in your great love for us, you sent your son Jesus into this world to die for our sin, so that we could be reconciled to you. Lord, would you remind us as your people that displaying the image of God that has been built into us, that displaying your glory to this world is about loving others, that they would know and find your son, and that in the process, that they would experience the reconciliation that you have long desired for them. And so, Father, help us to take up this mantle of loving others and a ministry of reconciliation. And God, I pray that you would use us to be light of your son in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
From rivers to transformation. You can't hang me there with you, 'cause death is just a doorway into resurrection life. If I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you in your life. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, oh, my heart will still be singing. My soul will be the same. Sing it, oh, Christ be magnified.
Again, I would remind you, as I do each week, that our prayer team is going to be here at the front this morning. If there are any needs for prayer that you have, they would love that opportunity to just meet with you and pray, whether that's here in this room or over in our prayer room. So please feel free to come forward at the end of the service. As well, as we close today out in the cafe, we have our table that is set up by Bella Vita, where you can talk to each of the ladies that attend here, but also serve out there. If you would like to get involved in some way, they would love that opportunity to share with you. I would also say, if you've been walking through this of asking questions of what do I do in my own life, or maybe you've made the decision of abortion, you've been walking through hurt and pain, I would encourage you to stop by and have that opportunity to speak with them as well. I want you to hear clearly this morning that no matter what choices you have made in your past, God's love covers over you, and He wants to restore all that is hurt and broken in your heart and life. And so allow us to walk that journey with you. As well, this morning as we close, church family, I want to thank you for many of you who have participated in our diaper drive. Got a ton that are out there. If you've got more, feel free to bring them. If you're like, hey, I forgot, but I'd like to get more, you can bring them here this week. We will make sure they get where they need to be. Lastly, as you go out and share and show the love of Jesus with every opportunity that He gives you this week, church. Be His light and let His glory be known and seen through your life. Have a great week serving the Lord. We'll see you next Sunday.